Would you introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Hannah. I play guitar.
I'm Sarah. I play keys.
I'm Holly, and I play bass.
I'm Amy. I sing and play drums.
Amazing. And okay, but we have to do this in stereo. At the top of your lungs, let's see how synced you can be. What is the name of the band?
Stonefield.
That's it? That's all? Wait, come on. You're like a hard rock band. That's all you can be. It's like Stonefield?
Stonefield.
Yeah, come on. Give me the microphone for that. You've got to do the full on.
Stonefield.
Yeah, come on. You don't want to let down your reputation to rock. So let's see. New album, Your Sisters, duh. Australia to L.A. and back, grew up on classic rock, playing since 2006. Did I get that part right? There's a shed. Now, here's where we're going to have some fun. There's a shed on a hobby farm. Now, I've been to Australia, but I don't really know what a hobby farm is.
It's just like a fun farm. Everything's...
Now you know in psychology, the funny farm is where you go when you've lost it. So it's not the funny farm. It's the fun farm.
Yeah. I don't know. We just have some animals that casually eat grass. It's nothing serious.
Wait. They casually eat grass.
Yeah, we have some cows.
How do you seriously eat grass if you're an animal? It's like I am so serious about this grass.
It's not like an intense cattle farm. It's just like we have 12 cows and they just eat.
And they just hang.
Yeah, they just hang.
Is this your parents' farm?
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. But you don't live on the farm?
Sarah and I, Holly, do.
You do? Yeah. Wow. Triple J. Was it your mom or your dad, the story goes, that said, hey, you're making some stuff and maybe you should send it to Triple J? And Triple J is this force, but it's also kind of, it's interesting because it's the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, right? So it's a corporate thing, but it doesn't feel like a corporate thing, yeah. Right? Yeah. So tell me the story about that. And then we'll circle back to when you were kids and instruments and stuff. We got to go out of order here.
Yeah, it is crazy how Triple J is the ABC and it really doesn't feel like a government-run station at all. It feels, I guess, too cool for that. We were recording a song for one of my university projects and that night was the last day, I think, the Unearthed High competition was open. So Unearthed High is like... I think it's 50% of the bands have to be in high school together. So Hannah, Sarah and Holly were all at high school. I was at uni. So I guess we qualified and, yeah, very last minute, mum was kind of like, why don't you just upload it to that competition? And we were just like, what's the point?
That's stupid.
We're never going to get that. We literally just recorded it. Like we hadn't even had time to kind of like absorb if it was any good or not, you know, like we didn't have time to kind of sit with it. We just, yeah, ended up chucking it up there and next thing you know, we won. So,
I like that
yeah.
quote. I chucked it up there. We chucked the song and they didn't chuck it back at us.
That's pretty much.
How did you decide and how did it work out that you all did play different instruments? Or did it not, or was there like, no, I've got the guitar because you're sisters.
I think it was like kind of an unspoken thing that... Yeah. We would end up playing in a band together, but at the same time, none of us wanted to play the same instrument, which worked out well. It wasn't a fight over... Well, yeah,
except
it was...
for maybe you with the drums.
Well, yeah, because the first instrument that we were gifted from our parents was a drum kit, which I thought could be cool. And then Amy was in high school at that point and was like, I think I want to take up lessons. And I was kind of like, well, I'm not doing that if you're doing it sort of thing. And then I really liked guitar, so I was like, maybe I'll pick it up and give it a go. And thankfully I did.
Four sisters, what are the odds that you're not like fighting over the ukulele for crying out loud? The U.S., when was that moment that you kind of said, way before all this in the new record, that you said, okay, we're gonna head over to the big country and see what we can do here? When was that first moment?
I think we kind of did get to that point of getting frustrated at how you can only get to a certain point and how much Triple J depends on your success in Australia. And Triple J has 100% backed us so much. Like they unearthed us and, you know, have played a lot of our songs on High Rotation. But it's, I don't know, I feel like Australia depends a lot. Yeah.
The majority of listeners, until you sort of crack something, it seems that there is a particular type of music that people seem to like. It's, I don't know, I think people aren't really open to a broader range of genres, maybe?
So the US is a hard one to crack, isn't it?
It is. But I don't know. I think just knowing that there's so many more places that we can play in is a really exciting thing for us. We love touring. We probably prefer touring over recording, I would say. That's like, you know, the aspect of the band that we really, really enjoy. So I guess being able to go to so many different places and it changes so much in the States is just a really exciting thing. And there's obviously a way bigger population, a bigger population for our style of music. And
the population is just so much bigger, which leaves more of an audience for the type of music that we play, I guess. So.
Yeah, and I think we just felt like in order to progress any further, we needed to, you know, go outside of Australia.
Coming to LA to make a record. Now, again, this is one of those tales that gets completely jostled. So you were on tour with the Gizzard guys, because the first two records you made in Australia, and then you were on tour with the Gizzard guys. And so where was the place that you suddenly said, oh, we're going to go to L? Because, again, I've read it different ways. And you say, well, you know, we just tried different studios. But you met the quote, producer, one Steven.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, so take it from there.
How
did it happen?
Pretty much.
She wants to know, by the way, what you said. You guys all want to know what you said.
Pretty much, yeah. We recorded our first two albums in Australia. The previous album that we did to Far From Earth, we had to re-record it a second time.
But why did you have to record it two or three times?
The honest answer is pretty much our label wasn't on the same page as us. And
your label in Australia?
Yeah. Yeah. So
we're allowed to name names. Nobody gets me in trouble.
I mean, it's not
was it a big label?
A bad thing. It's a big independent label.
It wasn't Mushroom.
It was Mushroom.
Of course it was Mushroom. Like,
I think we just weren't seeing eye to eye on it, and we were getting frustrated that, you know, we wanted everyone to be happy, and we know that, you know, they wanted the best for us, but we just ended up getting frustrated. The process ended up taking a long time.
But same songs? Same songs recorded differently, or is that part of it too, that they wanted a different mix of things?
We did write some new songs as well, and it was very much a case of like trying to keep everyone happy and whatever. After that experience, we were just like, you know what, we need to completely remove ourselves from anyone and everything. Write
so
a bunch of
songs. So did you say bye-bye to Mushroom?
We didn't. We just kind of went and recorded a bunch of songs while we were here.
But the sound, I've heard you say our sound several times, right? So I could rattle off a million adjectives. I could rattle off psychedelia. I could rattle off hard rock. I could rattle. And, you know, I don't care about any of that. I only care about songs. So I always ask artists this. What is the filter for a Stonefield song? How do you know it's a Stonefield song?
I feel like if we write something that sounds too pop, we generally tend to think that it's, yeah, steer away from it, because we don't want to, I guess, I don't know.
Like, we don't want to be a pop band.
Would that be, is the pop thing, and I'm looking straight in the eye on this one, is the pop thing because you're women? And you say, uh-oh, if we're a female rock band and we write pop, we're suddenly going to be pigeonholed into something we don't want to be pigeonholed into?
Actually, like, kind of, because we're like sisters and we're four girls, we don't really want to get
poppy songs.
Because you don't like poppy songs.
Well, I mean, we can appreciate poppy songs and we like poppy songs.
But they're just not Stonefield.
But also, like, what is a pop song? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, as in
songs are, like, a bit poppy.
Well, they've got good melodies. You've got riffs. You've got hooks. Well, yeah. That can be considered pop.
Generally strive for something a little bit more musical in the sense of guitars and trying to write something a little bit different.
And I guess,
like,
because we've been writing for so long as well, we don't, you know, we want to venture out and write something that's not just like verse, chorus, bridge, you know, like it's also just like, because we're developing and want to experiment with like some different structures and stuff, you know.
Also, like, the guitar, I guess, plays a big part in it.
Oh, yeah, it does. Oh, come on. I'm going to add this so you don't have to say, but we've added more synths. See, now we're done now. You've said that a million times. I hear what the synths are, but the synths are not synths in the Depeche Mode. You're using it for quirky sounds, aren't you?
Yeah.
they're kind of high-pitchy, interesting, interesting
so
things
like
going on.
Since like, let's make a pop song. It's like interesting, like vintage and spacey sounds.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So you go in with Mr. Gizzard, Mr. McBean, right? And you said, he got you. What did you walk in with? Because you obviously had, and again, I'll save you this. You had lots of cool gear. You had a big warehousey kind studio that you were at. I've been in that studio. I understand that. But what did you walk in with, and where did the magic happen? How did you know that this was the right thing to do?
I think because Stephen writes the kind of songs that we like and plays in a band that we like, and I feel like we're quite similar.
So there was respect from moment one.
Yeah, and like
all the sounds and stuff that he was able to like pull.
So you kind of told him what you were looking for, and he made suggestions, and you said, cool, man, that's good.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Just like seeing eye to eye, so it just worked. Yeah.
Like there was never really a moment where we disagreed or he suggested something and it were like, nah. Like we just got each other, same taste. Like, I don't know.
Who chose the mixer? Who are you surrounded by that gives you all this brilliant advice? Or is it just the four of you because there's four of you?
Well, Ryan has definitely helped us to basically achieve everything that we want to do.
He was our manager.
Oh, so let's give Ryan a little shout out. Because Ryan put us together.
He has.
How did you meet Ryan, and how did Ryan meet you? Did you go to LA and run into Ryan, or how did that all?
He was introduced through our booking agency, I think.
Yeah, I think he was invited to our South by Southwest showcase, and we were playing literally
the year before.
We were literally playing as the biggest, craziest thunderstorm was rolling in.
And oh, man, I know that thunderstorm. I was stuck in a beer bar for almost 2.5. It wasn't bad. I'm more of a wine guy. But we were stuck in that bar with a couple of bands, friends of ours, for 2.5 hours. That was like early evening. That was outrageous.
We were literally the last. I think our set got.
And you got things
short.
On your phone saying, "Do not leave." You got these emergency things in front. Do not leave wherever you are. You will die.
We only got to play like 4 songs on that set, and they were all like the more heavy doom kind of songs, and it just worked perfectly with the storm.
Like this epic light show going on.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I think that
we
got Ryan's
that
attention.
Moment. That was we're all alive. So when you're in the van and you're touring around and you're in the cornfields and all of that, and you know, all this wonderful country that you're in. But seriously, this is hard work. And I'm feeling some, you know, kind of like, well, we have to prove ourselves again because, you know, this is who we really are. So when you're playing to audiences that really probably have only heard this new music, you know, and they don't know anything and they're showing up out of curiosity, and then afterwards you talk about it, is that freeing and good, or is it pressure?
It feels good, I reckon. Like this album is like more what we want out there, I guess. So like,
and it is free. And everybody comes from somewhere at the same time. Like for us, those were some of our first songs that we wrote when we released our first album and our previous EPs. So it's in the first songs, our first pieces of music that were released into the world and played on radio were some of the first songs that we'd ever written because we were so young and we really were just starting out. So I guess we were exposed to the whole world of music a lot.
Probably before we were ready for it.
Yeah.
And that's totally like the problem, not the problem, but why we have this feeling of needing to, or wanting to kind of, you know, reinvent ourselves or reinvent how people perceive us, which, you know, it's not necessarily the way it is here because we are sort of new here, but back home, it's a lot of it is totally to do with the fact that we were so young when we started and inexperienced and, you know, starting from scratch. And it's kind of like, you know, when you have that awkward teenage high school band that you're really embarrassed of.
You know, now we look back at it and we're like, oh, those songs. But also it's like where we came from and it's got us to where we are now, and we've learned so much along the way. So yeah, like as you said, it's definitely not like a thing that we want to like hide from as well. It's just where we've come from and how we've ended up here. So, and we're really happy where we are right now. And to answer the question, it doesn't feel like pressure at all. It feels like really good to finally be in the position that like we've always wanted to be at.
I mean, being in LA and doing the residency and stuff, it is kind of like, okay, so we're doing this. It's been really, really great. We've, you know, connected with so many amazing musicians and, you know, had really great people out to our shows. It's been great.
Now you've
got to
take it to the next level, whatever that next level is.
Yeah, what is next? And yeah, that is something that we're probably yet to...
Different synthesizers. I'm kidding.
Yeah,
different guitar sound.
But in terms of writing, we don't really like, we don't sit down and say, okay, what is our next album going to sound like? We just write and see what comes out.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And here's what it is. It's two of your songs on the outside. And then you get to play anything you want in between